God wants His church to grow. We've been talking about that this month. God wants His church to grow. God has designed His church to grow. And when we embrace God's recipe, as we talked about last week, it was really awesome. I guess a lot of people are making brownies. And I saw something, Jose, after the Cardinals won last week, he celebrated by going to Walmart, buying some Ghirardelli's chocolate brownie mix and some ice cream and fixing them up. And hey, man, whatever, if I can be the excuse, brownies, awesome. But God's saying that when we embrace His recipe, like we talked about last week with the brownies, and His ingredients for Christian living and for being His church, that we too will get to enjoy being part of the growing church. So I want to just recap a few things. Why is church growth so important to God? Because God loves people. God wants all men to be saved, and He wants all men to come to a knowledge of truth, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God loves people. And we got to remember what the church represents. The church represents people. As God adds to the church, He's adding people. People that Jesus hung on the cross and bled for. People that Jesus gave His life for. God loves a growing church, and He's designed His church to grow because every new person that comes into the church is coming into His family, coming out of darkness, coming into light, coming out of loneliness and coming into belonging, coming out of the place of being an orphan and being a child in the family of God. God loves the growing church because He loves people. And so that's what God has been talking to us about for quite a while now here at Evident Life Church. And we want to make sure we get God's heart on this. And we want to make sure that we're living life out of that place of love for Him and love for others. Because when we do, everything else works out. It truly does. God revealed two essential church growth. That's a tongue twister. Two essential church growth ingredients a couple weeks ago. And we saw these two ingredients on the day of Pentecost, where the church began to operate in spirit and in truth. And on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 lost people, they could not ignore the move of the Spirit, and they couldn't dismiss the truth of the gospel. And 3,000 people on that day of Pentecost, because the church embraced and lived in spirit and truth, came into the family of God, and the church grew by 3,000 on that day. And then God also revealed last week, as we were in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, a list of other ingredients that are part of His recipe for growing His church, expanding the kingdom and growing His family. And we saw that the church devoted themselves to these ingredients and to this recipe. The church was devoted to the Word of God. The growing church is devoted to the Word of God. The growing person, the growing Christian, is devoted to these things too. Devoted to the Word of God. Devoted to the fellowship, to the coming of together of the saints, the gathering of the saints. Devoted to the breaking of bread, which is communion, remembering the cross. A lively, vital, growing, dynamic church, person and family, it's going to always remember the cross, be grounded in that. They devoted themselves to prayer and to being generous with one another. The Lord loves this kind of church with these kind of devotions, embracing His ingredients, embracing and using His recipe. He loves that kind of church so much that He actually grows that church. Remember at Pentecost and then in Acts 2, verse 47, it said that the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. It's God who's building His church and growing His church. Our role is to embrace His ingredients and His recipe and be devoted to those things that He's called us to be devoted to. So the growing church, following God's recipe, experiences much blessing, but not without some challenges. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The growing church, blessed! But some challenges can come up when there's growth. Beginning in verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the growing church, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "Hey, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group, the whole church. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, and 5 other guys. They chose these men. They presented these men to the apostles. You see what I did there? They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on these 7 men. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The growing church. Out of this passage of Scripture, we see some incredible, important biblical insight. We're going to first turn our attention to the blessing of growth, because there is blessing in growth. Verse 1, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing. The church was growing, and that's a blessing. When a family grows, it's a blessing. Children are a blessing. And so when God adds children to a family, God says that's a blessing. That's me blessing that family. And so when God is adding children, adding numbers, adding people into His family, into His church, that's a blessing. And so the church continued to experience increased blessing as God was adding to their number daily those being saved. More and more people were coming to Christ. The lost being saved. God's family growing. Jesus was receiving the reward of His suffering. And the church was blessed to be part of this eternal impact. Do you realize that? That when God adds to the church and we're part of it and we get to be engaged in it, that we're part of something that's eternal. I mean, a big part of His story, history, eternal history. There's nothing more exciting than that. Nothing. But the growing numbers meant a growing need for ministry in the body of Christ. And it revealed the second thing I want us to look at, the risks of growth. So you got the blessings of growth, but you also have the risks of growth. Again, let's look again at verse 1. In those days when the numbers of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. So what we're finding in this passage of Scripture, not only was there blessing, but there were a couple risks that began to become evident in the growing church. And those two risks were that people were being neglected and leadership was being distracted. These are two risks that were starting to show themselves in the early church that was being led by the apostles, these disciples that walked with Jesus. Challenges were coming to light. So let's look at risk number one in the growing church. Risk number one is people can be neglected. So you got this continued numerical growth that's going on. You got all of this success that's happening in the early church. And this success and growth caused the apostles, which are now the elders and pastors of the church, caused them to be overloaded with administrative tasks, to the point where they simply just had too much on their plate. That's what was going on. Do you all ever experience that? You ever experience too much on your plate? Life's getting busy. Things are happening. There's a lot of blessings. Maybe, you know, you're bringing your 7th child, 8th child into your home. We got a couple families like that here in this church. And, you know, you're adding to your number, and those are blessings, and it's exciting, and it's awesome. But there's more to handle. There's more on your plate at that time. That was happening to the early church. It's just natural. It's real, okay? That's what was going on. So as a result, people, real people, were falling through the cracks. The real needs of people were being neglected. In the church, it's being led by these amazing men of God, the apostles. People were getting neglected in the process of all the activity and all of the amazing blessing and growth. In particular, you had these Grecian Jews, and their widows were being overlooked in the food distribution. You could think, well, maybe they're even going hungry. Now, that's not a good thing. Letting the widows in the church go hungry? That's not cool. That's not good. That caused a whole bunch of complaining and even a whole bunch of threatening. And what was at stake was the unity of the church at that time. I mean, you could think about it. People were pointing fingers all around. Man, I thought this was the kind of church that loved one another. You keep talking about love. You keep singing about love. You keep preaching about love. But man, where's the love? Where's the care? I'm not feeling the love here. I'm not feeling taken care of. My friends aren't being taken care of. What's going on? And so the unity of the church was being threatened because things were so busy and people were falling through the cracks. But check this out. I love how God's Word just deals with things the right way. Too often we deal with things the wrong way. But here's what happened. Instead of hiding their heads in the sand, instead of making excuses, the church elders, the leaders of the church, faced the problem immediately, and they faced the problem openly. I mean, the elders gathered the whole congregation together. They said, hey, let's get together. Let's have a family meeting here and let's deal with this thing because we got some challenges, some risks that have shown themselves here. And what do? They admit in the midst of all the blessing, in the midst of all the growth, in the midst of all the miracles, in the midst of all the move of God, and everyone was in awe in those days in the early church, and it was incredible. In the midst of all of this blessing, look, man, there's a problem. We got some issues and we need some help because we need to deal with these things. Sometimes we get this picture that, man, the church should never have problems. Man, if a church is really being led by the Lord, if the church is on fire for God, man, if leadership is really hearing from God, if God's really blessing a church, then there's never going to be a problem in that church. All right. I'm just saying, I'm looking at the original church right here. Kind of some pretty amazing leaders in that church. Things happen, is what we're saying, folks. Challenges occur, even in the midst of blessing and goodness. Here's what happens. I want to talk about how these elders, these church leaders, dealt with this. They handled this situation with humility and openness. When these risks came to light, and people were falling through the cracks, and they were overloaded with a bunch of administrative stuff, they humbly and openly dealt with it. And humility and openness by church leadership is extremely important. And I want to tell you this, as leaders in your homes, it's extremely important for you as a leader in your household. Humility and openness with your family. Men, don't hide your head in the sand. Don't make excuses. Don't try to hide issues from your wife. That never works. And don't try to hide them from your kids. Because they see through it also. And then you begin to look like a hypocrite. And you look like you're managing the family rather than leading the family. And these leaders in the church weren't going to manage the church and do damage control so that they could look a certain way, like they got it all together. Instead, in humility and openness, they just said, hey, look, we got an issue. And we want to lead us through this because God's got more blessing and more growth for us. Openness, it thwarts the enemy's divisive and destructive plans and tactics when we're open, when we're transparent. Openness brings unity. Unity is powerful. It's powerful in a marriage, in a family. It's powerful in a church when there's unity. And openness and humility breeds unity. And these early leaders in the early church understood that. So while immediately and openly acknowledging this real, this practical issue of people being neglected, the church leaders, they actually point out another threat. Again, that's just humility and openness. Instead of going, oh yeah, we got that issue, let's quickly fix it. And, you know, they said, okay, we got that issue, but there's another problem here. There's another risk in this whole process, and that is not only people being neglected, but if we don't handle this the right way, leadership will continue to be distracted from our real calling and our true calling and what we're supposed to be about on a day-to-day basis. And so the pastors, the elders of the church point out that next threat. Risk number two, leadership can be distracted. Distracted from what? Distracted from their primary responsibilities as pastors and as elders in the church, which these apostles were in the early church. Distracted from their calling, distracted from prayer, distracted from the ministry of the word, as we're reminded here in Acts 6, are those primary callings and responsibilities of the pastors and elders in the church is prayer and ministry of the word of God. Leadership was being distracted from those things. And continued distraction in those areas by leadership was going to cause issues that would reverberate through the whole church family. And so the leaders of the early church wanted to deal with both. People being neglected and leadership being distracted. So again, because of the increased pressures and needs within the growing church family, the church elders became overloaded with these administrative tasks, and they weren't even doing a great job because people were still falling through the cracks, even though they were trying to keep up with it. But these tasks were also taken away from their primary calling of prayer and ministering of the word and that spiritual oversight of the church. And I want to tell you a personal story. I'm just going to get really open, humble, and real right now with my church family. We went through a process of getting into this amazing facility that we have here. I call it our mission base because it's not just the four walls that we go and hide and worship in. This is actually a live mission base where we're being equipped and we're being sent out in the community, and then we're bringing the community in and we're ministering in and out and in, and it's the breathing in and the breathing out of the kingdom of God. This is a mission base, and God bless us with this mission base for such a time as this in the location that we're in the Heritage District of Gilbert, Arizona. He's blessed us. He's put us here on purpose. And so in the process of getting into this place, I spent 6 to 8 months negotiating, working with banks, working with the church that was in here, buying from Foursquare International, all that whole process, 6 to 8 months of intense pressure and stress and sanctifying work that God was doing on me as I had to just lay it down and let Him be God and lead it and make it happen and not stress out about it. But I got to tell you what, I didn't win every night. Some nights I was up till 2, 3 in the morning, pacing in the dark of my house, on my knees, on my face, going, God, help me. Just saying, you know, real life, okay? Big things, real life. And then we moved into this facility, and we've done a whole lot of renovation, and there's been so many of you that have put your elbow grease, your heart and soul and effort and strength into renovating this place. And I was one of them. And in those days, I was leading the projects. I was on my hands and knees putting in carpet tiles, painting, fixing whatever needed to be fixed, putting things up on the walls, whatever needed to be done. And during those months, getting up to being in this building and those 6 or 7 months afterwards, I got to tell you what, I was overloaded with administrative stuff in the church, and my prayer time and my time in the world suffered greatly. And it all came to a head one Sunday morning as my dear friend, one of our elders here, Don, hits me. He's about the 25th person that morning that said, where's this? Where's that? How do I do this? What's going on here? And he hits me with it, and I just go, I can't handle this anymore, Don. I come here on Sunday mornings at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I have no time to think, pray, be in the Spirit, hear God or anything. It's all about where's this, where's that, how to do this and how to do that. That was not a healthy thing for me, and it was not a healthy thing for this church. And I got to say, praise God, I'm not the first church pastor leader that's gone through this, because the great apostles of the first church also dealt with the same thing. Things got corrected. By God's grace, we were able to hire our associate pastor, Rick Fermanek. He came on in January. What an amazing blessing that was. Took so much load off of me, and the elders stepping in, taking load off, helping out, sharing the load of the ministry. I found myself just setting aside hours of time that I would put in my schedule and in the prayer room calendar and schedule to make sure that I would be in there, that I would be devoting myself to those places of prayer and ministry of the word. But I got to tell you what, I need more, and this church needs me to spend more time in prayer and more time in the ministry of the word. It does. So we've come a long way, baby, but we got a long way to go. We really do. And I want all God has for us as a church body. So we're going to do it God's way. And so these apostles are facing real life decisions that come to leaders of movements, that come to churches that are growing in numbers and complexity. And I want to tell you something. Complexity is not necessarily a bad thing. Don't fall for that. Well, there's so much going on in the church. You know, the church needs to be more simple. Okay, tell that to the different ministries that we're reaching out to. You know why we would be more complex right now? Because a year ago, we weren't bringing homeless in here and taking care of them. A year ago, we weren't going out to halfway houses. A year ago, we were not partnering on a regular basis with the Open Arms Ministry with food and clothing issues and helping them with those needs. A year ago, we were really only working primarily with Ghana, Africa. Now we're working in Indonesia. We're also working in Ethiopia and supporting and helping those ministries. A year ago, we weren't going to senior houses in our community in Gilbert, homebound seniors, and we have a whole team that's doing that a year ago. So tell me, is complexity a bad thing? Is more ministry a bad thing? No, it's exactly what we're called to. We're called to go out and be the witnesses. We're called to be the salt and light. We're called to be those who go love the unlovely, love the lost, love our community, and bring the kingdom of God. I don't want to pull back on all that. I don't want to say, oh, we got enough. I don't want to say we don't have any room for any more people because I'm too busy. I don't want to say that we can't go out and go to another people group and begin to show them the love of Christ. I can't do that. I will not do that as a pastor because I didn't see Jesus doing that. I didn't see the early church doing that. I want to give you a kind of a picture, though, of this risk of being overloaded. I'm going to ask my son to come up here and start throwing some balls at me. Because here's kind of what it looked like. And these are tennis balls, so I wouldn't get hurt. You know, we start the church, and we've got a few families, and we're meeting in the library, and it's all cool and all that. But then we double in size, maybe triple in size, and we get this building over there in the Gilbert Town Square, and we've got, you know, 100 people, and things are going great, and we're doing a prayer room ministry, which we're still doing. It's awesome. Better be involved in it. I'm just saying, get in there, man. You're missing it if you're not. So we're doing all that, and it's wonderful, right? Well, then we end up moving in to this building. Whoa. We end up moving in here, and we launch all these different ministries, and we got all this stuff happening and all this stuff happening, but God wants to do more. And so he's ready to throw more at us, and he's ready to. I can only do three. I can only handle three balls. All right. And so the point is this, is that we need to spread it out. So we have an elder team. I want to ask the elders to come up. And I want to ask also Pastor Rick to come up. And we've got this team of leaders that the Lord's blessed us with. Because it's not just about me trying to juggle everything. We learned that a long time ago. So what I did was I took those four balls. I have those four balls. It's not just me now. Look at this. I can give one to Don. I can give one. Now, Don, I'm giving up these now. Stop this. Y'all are too aggressive. Put those away. Put those away. You get one, and you get one, and you get one. All right? And what are we doing? Now we're sharing the load. Look at that. Isn't that a lot easier? We're sharing the load. But here's the deal. As I'm juggling three, all of a sudden, we're getting these other guys that are starting to get them. And then they're getting more and more. They're getting more and more. And more and more. And more and more. Now start throwing them at these guys. Hit them with them. And more and more, and more and more. We don't want to get it. Look at this. Here you go. So anyway, the point is, thank you, gentlemen. I was just trying to give a visual here of what's going on. The point is this. The Lord has blessed us with an amazing team of leaders at Evident Life Church that know how to keep a lot of balls in the air. That can handle a lot. But the Lord is bringing us more. And He wants to do more. And He wants us to reach more. He wants us to transform the whole town. That's going to take a lot of people juggling a lot of balls, keeping it up, keeping it going. And it's not just to keep something going. It's because we're bringing the kingdom of God. That's what this represents. This represents people's lives, people coming out of darkness, people coming out of addiction, people having chains broken off of their lives, people walking in freedom. This represents real kingdom kind of stuff. How did the early church leaders react to the situation they're in when they couldn't handle any more balls and some started falling and they couldn't handle the needs of the people in the church and they were finding themselves neglecting their time of prayer and their time in the Word and ministering the Word? How did they deal with it? Well, let's look at the third thing, the reaction to growth. How did they react to growth? We have the blessings, we have the risks of growth, but then they had a reaction of how to deal with those risks of growth. The elders doubled down, is what they did. But they didn't double down just trying to juggle more balls. They didn't go, oh man, I got to figure out how to juggle four balls now, five balls now, six, seven, eight, nine. They didn't double down on just trying to get all the administrative stuff of the church done. That's not what they did. They took a different approach. They doubled down on their commitment to be faithful to their calling. That's what they doubled down on. That's what they made the commitment to. Prayer, the ministry of the words. The apostles determined to be busily engaged, to be devoted to these things that they were called, that they were charged to do in the church. They would take up their time with these things, with prayer and ministry of the word. Why? Because prayer is essential. We talked about that before. That is one of the essential ingredients in growing the church, in God being able to entrust the church with His ministry and what He wants to do with precious lives. Prayer is critical. Ministry of the word that transforms lives, it renews minds. It's not going to happen if the word does not go forth. There will not be transformation and we will not see the kingdom of God come. So they devoted themselves to these things. They doubled down on doing what they were called to do instead of trying to do a song and dance and just figure out how to juggle more, how to juggle more, how to juggle more. But how did they do this? How did they get recommitted to what they needed to do? How are they going to do that? Because the needs of the church weren't slowing down. The opportunities of ministry were just showing up more and more and more. How are they going to do this? In Acts 6, we see that the elders raised up more leaders. That's how they addressed it. They raised up more leaders. They called forth another office of leadership called the deacon. It's a diakonos in Greek is what it's called. It's a whole nother office of leadership in the church, a formal office. And we know it's a formal office because they actually laid hands on these men. And they sent them into this ministry. They established them into this ministry. They anointed them for this ministry. It wasn't just creating a committee. It was a spiritual act. It was a leadership of the Holy Spirit to do this. And so that's what the leaders of the early church did so that they could continue the ministry that God was calling the church to. What does it mean to be a deacon? Diakonos in the Greek, some synonyms of that word are servant and minister. Servant and minister. We also see in Acts 6 that the men that were called to be the deacons in the church were full of the Holy Spirit. Able to disciple others. I mean, you think of two of the men that they chose. Stephen, one of my favorite guys. I call him a rock star of the faith. Unbelievable man of God. Preached the word so powerfully. Became a martyr, stoned to death because he preached the word of God. But because he's faithful, a servant minister unto the Lord, he actually got to see heaven open up before he passed into eternity and heaven applauding him with a standing ovation for being faithful to his calling. You got Philip, who led that Ethiopian to to the Lord and got him baptized. Wow, man, that's awesome. Where's the next pond? I'm ready to go. Let's go. These are men who are full of the Spirit, able to disciple, willing to serve others, men of godly character. I see it was essential that this occurred in the church for the church to continue to be the growing church, to continue to be the church that would be full of vitality and health, that would continue to be the church that would change the world now and forever. This was a move of the church and a move of God that's highlighted for us in Scripture on how to grow the church God's way, is bringing on this next office of leadership, the deacon. The Lord gave us a word at Evident Life Church right before we were blessed to find out about this building and to walk into this place. He said, you need to expand your expectations and increase your ability to receive. I've been reminded of that word and seeing it in the context that we're talking about this morning. We need to continue to expand our expectations of what God's doing. Don't limit it. I want to encourage you that in your own life and in your own family. Don't limit God. Don't put God in a box. Don't think that God's not big enough to do more. Don't think that that's all it is. Don't think that you need to retreat or go backwards. You need to expand your expectations and then increase your ability to receive, because God has all we need to walk into the life that He has for us. And I see that. God has given us in this church amazing men, leaders, men that are filled with the Holy Spirit, men that are able to fill this role of a deacon, of a servant minister in the church. I want us to be a church that continues to think big, because God thinks big. God wants the world. He desires all men. I want us to continue to think big. God wants to see the walls that the devil has put up around different even spheres of influence in our society, like schools and government, media. He wants to see those walls that the enemy's put up to keep his presence out. He wants to see us rip those down. I want to expand our expectation and believe and know that God is big enough to do big things. And so to do that, we have to increase our ability to receive. And part of that receiving is receiving one another into new places of leadership and into new places of service in the body of Christ. We got to expand the leadership team. And so that's what we are in the process of doing here at Evident Life Church. As an elder team, we've been praying through this heavily. And frankly, we have a list, a huge list of men. I think there's 16 on the initial list that came. We have a smaller number, though, that we're talking to at this time about this role, this God-ordained, very critical role in the growing church. And so soon we're going to announce that initial set of deacons to the body of Christ. And that team, that group of men, will grow, I believe, over time, probably even grow by the end of this year and into next year and the next year, as we continue to grow and expand and be part of what God is expanding and God is doing. And so these deacons accepted the calling, the elders laid hands on them, and here's what the result was. All right, check out this result. Look up there. So the word of God spread. This is the result of raising up new leaders, people willing to serve and step into this role. The word of God spread. Do you want the word of God to spread? Do you want it to spread in your family, in your neighborhood, in our community, in the nation, in the world? Yes. This is important. So they did this. They raised up new leaders. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in their town in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests even became obedient to the faith. So the gospel advances. The church continues to grow and grow and grow and grow for God's glory. And even the atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere in their whole community and region begins to change, to the point to where you have priests that were more than likely, many of them, part of that council and group that were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Part of that whole plot, part of all of that, of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, now saying, he is Lord. He is Lord. I will follow him all the days of my life. That's big. That's big change. Sometimes I know we look in our community and we think, oh, there's other religions in our community, people that are lost, people, but man, they seem so organized, they're so big, they're too big. How could that ever change? How could that ever change? God is big. He is able to do all of these things as we step into it. I want to point this out too, and I'm going to go a couple minutes late. Forgive me, but I'm excited right now because God is moving big time. Okay, here's the deal. We got to remember that we need to be men and women of faith, and we need to step into the different callings that God has for us. The church, if the church said, look, apostles, it's just got to be all about you. We're just going to show up to a meeting every once in a while, and we're going to clap and sing and give some tithes and offerings. But, you know, all of the work of the kingdom, all of the ministry of the word, all of that kind of stuff, you guys just deal with that. If that would have happened, we would not be reading verse 7 about the word of God spreading, the church rapidly growing in Jerusalem, and people that were enemies of Christ, 180 coming to him. We're the church. We're the people of God. We're part of this. We're part of this. That's an exciting thing. So this is kind of stuff that happens when we trust God, when we turn to him and grow his way. The tactics of the enemy are recognized. They're openly dealt with. They're openly dealt with. The church is sent into ministry. Growth happens. God's kingdom comes, and the town's transformed. God is glorified. This is what happens when we embrace God's way of living and doing life. So again, at Evident Life Church, we find ourselves in a season of growth, season of blessing. We really are. A season of God moving in us and through us. A season of increased ministry opportunities. They keep coming. How beautiful. God opening doors for us to minister to people. And it's also a season of needing to call forth more and more leaders so we can continue to make room for these precious people that God loves and wants to bring into his family. We don't want to shrink back. I've heard that word several times this week from different people. We don't want to shrink back. The early church didn't shrink back. They didn't try to manage what God was doing. I believe that's a word for a lot of us right now, even as parents. Don't try to manage what God is doing. They didn't try to manage it. They came into agreement with what God is doing and moved forward in faith. So we turn to God. He's given us this mission. He's given us this recipe for growing his church and seeing his kingdom come. I'm reminded of 2 Peter 1, verse 3, where it says that his divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. He's given us everything we need to be the growing church, to see his kingdom come, to see ministry expand, to see health and unity thrive in the church. He's given us all we need for this. He's enough. He's enough. I'd like you all to stand up. I'd like for you to close your eyes for a moment. I'd like you just to focus on the Lord. Got a couple questions. Are you personally feeling overloaded and overwhelmed? Like the early church was? Like the leaders were? They felt like there was just too much coming at them? Do you feel like you're juggling too much in your life? You don't know how you're going to keep all those balls up. You don't know how you're going to keep things going. Maybe fear is entering into your heart and your mind. You don't know what to do. You want to pull back. You want to retreat. Do you feel like you need help? With your eyes closed. I just want to say that the answer is the same answer. The response is the same response that those apostles took when they were overwhelmed, overloaded, and felt like, how are we going to handle this? And that's, you just need to be humble before the Lord right now. I want to just ask that you would just humble yourself before the Lord. And right now recognize that he is God. Remind yourself, he's God. God, you're God. You're God. I humble myself. I'm not. You're God. You are God. You should be open with the Lord right now. God wants us to turn to Him today. He wants us to look to Him and allow Him, His Spirit, to minister His love, His peace to us, and to strengthen us and to propel us forward just like He did His early church. He wants to do that in your life and in your family. If you just need God to minister to you in that way and to give you the strength and direction and strategies like He did the early church, then I want to invite you to come forward just to receive from Him. This is an act of receiving. It's being intentional, saying, God, I'm humbling myself before You, and I'm being open with You and saying I need You. I just want to invite you to come forward. I don't want to be overwhelmed anymore. I need strength and guidance. You're coming forward saying, God, I need what only You can give me. I don't have the answers. I'm not big enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I need You.